Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
That was frightening.
It's a good one, bro. That was good. Movies Hate You. This is it. Right?
That's it. I think.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it. And we're sponsored by bmovie.com. Hey, so my name is Rob, and if you don't know who I am, then go to hell. I have a small little DVD label called Wild Eye, you may have heard of, or you may have seen me at your local cinema in the that new movie you like, or that TV show you watch every week, or at the local library reading a book.
There you go.
Todd Sheets, the producer, filmmaker, radio entrepreneur, and all around great guy, is our producer. And with us, as usual, well, sometimes not, but most times he's here, Mr. Ree. The I don't know, what's a good adjective for Mr. Ree?
Mr. Cool.
How about Mr. Cool?
Cool. That's overplayed, isn't it? Anyway,
how about this? How about this? Mr. Ree puts the big trouble in Little China.
Lee Peterson is with us. I don't use your real name enough, Mr. Ree, but he plays a character on the show called Mr. Ree. But people actually see me and they go, "Tell that Mr. Ree guy to start speeding up the reviews," or "Tell that Mr. Ree guy stop taking your abuse."
Hey, did you hear my tagline for Mr. Ree? Did you hear that? Because I think it's a good one.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm in the middle of my show here. I didn't hear you. Go ahead.
What was it? My tagline for Mr. Ree is, "He puts the big trouble in Little China."
How about Mr. Ree? He puts the Little China in big trouble. And it turns out Big Trouble is the name of some biker chick he met at a bar. Huh?
That's just wrong.
That's right. You give me Lemmy and I make Lemmyade.
That's it.
Yeah.
I heard, I think it was Carlene Carter was once introduced in front of her parents, no less, Johnny Cash and June Carter, as the girl who puts the cunt in country.
So, why would you say that word on this show?
Country? Well, yeah. CW. Let's say country western.
CNW. It's not CW. It's CNW.
CNW. Yeah.
Hey, man. You know, you laugh, but you know, there were some people killed in Branson, Missouri, recently, and that's not cool, man. And it wasn't Yakov Smirnoff either.
Did Foster Brooks take a spill off the stage? And
they called it a tsunami. I think he spilled a drink. Yeah. Oh, is Foster Brooks really? I mean, you told me this off air recently. Is Foster Brooks really still alive?
I think he is. My understanding is yeah, he's alive and he's thriving in Branson, Missouri.
Get out of here. Now, listen, according to the intranet, he died in 2001, you moron.
Oh, well, that's probably an old site you're looking at.
That's an old site I'm looking at.
seriously, he died in 2001.
That's what Wikipedia says, but what do they know?
I'm trying to
do a little producing here on the show as we go along, because our producer's too busy coming up with taglines for non-existent characters.
What do you mean non-existence? He's on the show tonight.
Yeah, that's true. But why should he get a tagline? I don't have a tagline.
I'll work one out for you.
I don't even have a good write-up on the Jackalope site.
How about the other white meat?
I need to rewrite that write-up.
Rewrite it. I'm ready.
Can we read it on the air? If you go to the Jackalope site, which is great, by the way, and all the artwork's great for all these shows, and I think Todd does most of it, if I'm not mistaken, to give you props.
Thank you.
From the obscure to the popular, Rob covers it all in a fresh and unique way that only he can.
That sounds pretty good to me.
The vagueness is incredible. This is proof that this was written before the show even started.
No. It's vague because I asked you what you thought, and you said, I don't know, we're just going to wing it. And so I just put what I could.
Rob's love of movies has forced him to suffer greatly. Now, that's very true. As many movies he has watched prove, which is also true, and also some movies I haven't watched. They pain me just knowing they exist. Or sometimes a trailer or something. Doesn't it, like that trailer for the new Three Stooges movie? Did anyone else cringe or did anybody else did anybody else lose like 5 years of their childhood memories when watching that trailer?
I wake up screaming every night thinking about that trailer.
You know what? And the thing that bothers me the most is I love Will Sasso so much as a comedian, and I'm just, if I could pick one person to play Curly in a biopic, that would have been the one. But this is not a biopic like it was supposed to be.
Did either one of you ever have a dream where you killed someone, right? Let's just say you did.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And there's that moment in the dream where you get caught, and you know there's no turning back, and you're going to jail, and your life is over, and that feeling, and then you wake up, and of course you're fine, right? Now, I've had this dream before, more than once, and don't Freud out on me, you boneheads, and don't write in and say, oh, I know why you had that dream. I know. That's what it was like watching that trailer. It's like knowing your life was over for just a few seconds, you know, like a minute, 5 seconds. And then when a trailer's over, you check back into reality and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. I can move on with my life. I don't ever have to see that piece of garbage again.
It was horrible. It was horrible.
Beyond horrible. So, and now let's continue with the description of this show. As many movies he has watched prove that they sometimes truly seem to be out to get him. Okay? The movies are out to get me. This paints me as some kind of paranoid idiot. Truly involving... Wait, here's where the sales pitch comes in. Truly involving, always informative, movies hate you. Lie. Show not involving. We have less listeners than any show on this station. Always informative, complete lie. I've never even watched a movie. Mr. Ree is a conservative jerk, pretending to be a liberal. And Todd's only doing this because I have videotape that he doesn't want anybody to see. And it's not one of his movies, mind you. Anyway, so there we go. There's our description. Can you write, how about a contest? 5 free DVDs, all different DVDs of my choice, I will pick, courtesy of bmovie.com. If you can rewrite that and send it in to movieshateyou@gmail.com. Go onto the Jackalope site, rewrite our show description the best you can, and go as crazy as you can. Just don't use any foul language in it. And the winner will get 5 free brand new DVDs, new releases, sealed. None of this Mr. Reese stuff where he burns it and then he sends it back to you telling you it was defective or something. Huh?
Know about that?
Yeah, I know about that. You're a legend on Amazon and eBay for that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hey, how about this? How about this, guys? The girl who puts the tree in country. Would that be okay? Can I say that?
The girl puts the unt in country.
No. now, whatever.
I think Todd's going to have to bleep that out. So if you just tuned in, you would have heard a bleep if you were listening, but there is a bleep if you hit reverse. Or if you listen in the archives, you'll catch the bleep if you go backwards. In there. Was that a dog? What was that? Somebody just step on something?
My refrigerator door.
What are you doing? Are you eating?
What else do you have in the refrigerator? I'm having some soda, actually.
You're having some pop. Yeah.
Some pop.
Let's say things correctly for our Canadian fans. We know who you are.
Yes. Bob Pop.
So Todd, give me so is it okay if I rewrite the show description?
Please do.
Is that okay?
Please, also, I insist.
I've had tons of mail about show descriptions because people want to know, like, oh, you interviewed Joel Reed? Like, what episode was that? And I'm like, damned if I know. So people have to listen through, like, every show. Can I throw some show descriptions on there, too?
Sure.
Is there room for that?
We can try to find a way.
Some people have that on their thing.
If you want it, you can have it. It's really what it is it's who sends me the information, and that's really what it bothers. You know, if someone says, hey, man, can we put this on there? Like Pete, you'll see 42nd Street Pete all the time, but every once in a while he'll say, hey, let's put on this tag, and I do. But it just depends on the show host.
So what this all comes down to is I've been slacking with all this stuff.
Kind of.
Well, you know, that's why I bring it up on the air, because now I'm forced to do it, because now all our fans know that it's in my hands, and if it doesn't get changed, then I'm a slack and I'm a loser. That's why I did it, to challenge myself. That's why I brought it up live on the air. Is anybody there? Everybody,
we're here. We're here, man. We're listening to you.
Man, you guys are just you got no energy tonight, man.
We're listeners, you know. I put myself in the position of a listener. I'm enjoying the show.
Then tune in on Sunday nights and listen in.
I'll say, why is there so much silence?
This would not be the same show if you did that. Hey, thanks for that copy. Thanks for that VHS of Terror in the Swamp, by the way, Mr. Ree. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Classic Bigfoot.
Yeah. Little, Joe Catalanotto, you know, one of my favorite directors of all time, Joe Catalanotto. Thanks for that one, pal.
And what else did he make?
I think he made some burgers at a barbecue one night.
Probably his best work.
You didn't like Terror in the Swamp?
No, I like Terror in the Swamp, sure. anything with Bigfoot in it is okay with me.
Right.
Right.
I think that that was his. He kind of branched away. I think he was actually a disciple of Charles Pierce, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I think he was a veteran of Charles Pierce's school of do-it-yourself and make a lot of money filmmaking. And I think that was his breakout. I wonder if that played in theaters. Do you have any idea, Mr. Ree?
I have no idea, but I would guess so. It sure looks like it would have. I mean,
like regional.
Yeah, sure. Like in drive-ins in the South, at least.
Okay.
But speaking of Bigfoot, Robert Morgan, is he still alive? Do we know what happened to that guy?
I think he is, but I could be wrong. I think...
Made a couple of big documentaries, and also he made a horror film, right? A slasher film?
Bloodstalkers, yeah.
Bloodstalkers.
Yeah. Let me see here. I'm going to go on the intranet and look that up. Oh, look, I opened the page, and it's bmovie.com. How funny. Our show sponsor right here on my computer.
What are the odds?
Yeah, he was born in 1935, so I don't know. 1991. He's considered or not. Hey, he's not. He's not. Not generally well respected by today's researchers.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was watching just the other night. I was watching one of. I don't know if he made more than one, but he made In Search of Bigfoot was a documentary that he made as the star. And you know what? It is exactly the template for Finding Bigfoot, this Animal Planet documentary series.
Like that has credibility. I love how, like, I love how it's like, he's not really respected nowadays, you know, Robert Morgan. Oh, yeah, but Finding Bigfoot is.
who respects Finding Bigfoot? I mean, I love Finding Bigfoot, don't get me wrong, but respect, I don't know about that.
Well, do you like it as a piece of entertainment, or are you really expecting them to find something?
Well, I don't expect them to find anything. I mean, I think obviously in this, you know, the world, the age of the internet, if anything were to be found, we would know about it long before the show aired. So,
right,
that's kind of you know, they're kind of hamstrung by that. We know they're not going to find Bigfoot during this particular episode. I'm not saying they're never going to find Bigfoot, but during the episode that's on tonight, it's not going to happen. They might find something.
It's like Ghost Hunters.
Similar to Ghost Hunters. We know they're not going to find anything during the show that's conclusive, because we already would have read about it.
Todd, do you ever touch on Bigfoot? What would you say? What is it? Sasquatchania?
Of course, of course.
Do you? Yeah.
Of course.
Do you ever have somebody of like Robert Morgan's stature on, or Lauren Coleman or someone?
We have all of the biggest names in Bigfootology on Night Watch every week at Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Central on jackaloperadio.com.
Hey, wait. Shameless, and that's not and it's not a Bigfoot show. The same way people say our show, that Movies Hate You, is a VHS show. I don't know, you know, we did a couple VHS shows, so we got tagged early on as a VHS show, which is fine. I mean, we love VHS here, but we collect it. But you're not a Night Watch is not a Bigfoot show. Although Night Watch sounds like a Bigfoot show, doesn't it? Watching the night. I'm out there with
We have had lots and lots of cryptozoology experts on the show, and we cover everything. Things that go bump in the night, we cover it, including Mr. Ree.
Ah.
I go bump every night, yeah.
Yeah.
At least one.
I thought you did a couple bumps when you woke up. I'm sorry, I'm mixing this all up. I don't know what's going on.
That's a few years in the past. But are there, in Bigfootology or whatever, are there, like, two camps? There seems to be, like, Matt Moneymaker is the host of, or the star, or whatever, of Finding Bigfoot, and he seems to be pretty polarizing as far as the Bigfoot people. Is that true? Do you know of what I'm talking? Is there the Moneymaker side, and then there's a, like, people, quote unquote, more serious people? Is that true, or where does Moneymaker fall within the Bigfoot universe?
Good question. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not the expert.
He has experts on it. He's not a big fan.
I've never, like, went out and hunted Mr. Sasquatch myself. However, sometimes I hunt for movies about Mr. Sasquatch. So I could tell you about
that. Much more fun. Much more fun.
Yes.
So
have you ever had him on the show? Or?
Yes, actually. We've had him on a few shows on Jackalope.
Okay.
He's good friends with Eric Altman, and Eric Altman does a show every Sunday night right here on Jackalope Radio at 7 p.m. Central Time.
What is this?
Called Beyond the Edge Radio with Eric Altman. They talk about Bigfoot all the time. Eric's one of the foremost Bigfoot authorities in the United States.
Oh. And Missouri, have you heard of this guy?
You know, I probably have.
Our radio mate.
I probably just don't recognize the name. I mean, I'm on the Bigfoot forums every day looking at stuff, and I'm on the JREF, the James Randi Educational Foundation Skeptics side of things. So I sort of keep both open at the same time and, you know, compare notes. I think it's fascinating. I mean, I'm fascinated by the Patterson film, basically. That's kind of where everything started for Bigfoot, for me, certainly, and probably you guys, too. probably saw that first, and that was like the first.
That's
heard of Bigfoot.
That's a good question. I mean, there was so much stuff coming out, you know, from then until, you know, the early 80s that I don't know. I mean, I think my first introduction was probably something like Bigfoot Man or Beast. And it was rerun on TV all the time, or, you know, probably maybe In Search Of that. I don't know the date on that, but that ran the Patterson footage. I mean, all this stuff, most of this stuff ran the Patterson footage in it. Robert Morgan was in that, Bigfoot Man or Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Mysterious Monsters, classic.
Yeah.
Mysteries or Monsters, Mysteries and Myths, or something like that. That's another TV one.
Now, is that the re-edit? There were two, right? Rod Serling did narration on one of them, and was that just a re-edited version of the In Search Of? Maybe.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think you're talking about the Monsters, Mysteries, and Myths.
Yeah, there's one. Is that the one that Serling narrated?
I don't think so. I think that was one of the Gounet, the hunter, the other Robert Gounet. Is that how you say his name? The Frenchman.
Not René de Hinden.
No. That's right. There's de Hinden. There's Byrne. There's Morgan. There's Krantz. And Morgan.
John Green was a Canadian guy.
Back then, but
yeah, and he's still alive. He's like 90, like 90 something right now. The oldest of all those guys. But
did you ever see Sasquatch Hunters? That movie?
I've never seen it.
Documentary on all those guys.
Yeah. Kind of hard to tell the titles.
Well, all those things are, I think, growing up watching all this stuff, they're all a little mixed up in my brain, and I'm sure they are for other people who grew up that time period, where maybe some of the footage you saw in Search Of was in one of these films, or vice versa. Perhaps there was. I think because there was a lack of footage, even faked footage at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if it weren't for the Patterson film, it was really the thing that sold. I mean, whether you believe in it or not, that was what sold the idea to America. And I think
that, I was going to say, yeah,
that probably wouldn't be what it is now. I mean, that's what
right. That sold it to a general audience who necessarily would never be interested in something like that. That it was a curiosity piece.
Yeah. And I remember seeing that. The movie, I don't know which of the documentaries I saw, but I know I saw it at my local theater in Nebraska, and I remember seeing the ads for it, like, the week before, and just being terrified. I don't know how, I was a little kid, but I totally bought it hook, line, and sinker, and I was like, oh my god, this is a real monster.
Oh, yeah.
That's a monster to start with, so, you know, this was the coolest thing ever, and I still get chills thinking about that first time I saw that film on TV, and I remember I was my dad was sleeping, and I was watching TV by myself, and it came on, and I woke my dad up, feigning that I thought he was interested in actually watching the Bigfoot commercial. Like, Dad, it's on. But actually, I just wanted him to wake up because I was scared out of my boots. You know, seeing that.
I think that's the thing. Now it's become such a the Sasquatch, Bigfoot, the idea of a creature has become the brunt of jokes, and, you know, it's fun, and it's kind of our you know, at least in America, a mascot of sorts for us, and much so in other states than in the New York area. But upstate New York has its own sightings. But I think back then, you know, if you're 5, 6 years old, then that would be put you around, for people our age, about 75, 76, 77, having only these few handful of films. That stuff was scary, and they sold it as a scare thing on television too. I mean, these were always like, you know, what about Sasquatch, The Legend of Bigfoot? Not The Legend of Bigfoot, but Sasquatch, The Legend of Bigfoot, which is like a pseudo documentary And that thing howling and that was scary, man, when you were a kid. That stuff was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. And because it was pseudo-documentary, at a time before that was chic to do, everyone assumed it was real. But why not stop at bmovie.com, the one and only and surely fleeting sponsor of the Movies Hate You show, which you're listening to right now with Mr. Ree, Todd Sheets, somewhere in the wilderness out there with Sasquatch, and me, Rob, your host.
It's pretty squatchy in here.
Hey, speaking of squat, how did this become a Bigfoot show, by the way? I think we're just naturally obsessed with this cinematic Sasquatch. But it deserves its own show, and maybe this is it. You know, I always thought, well, we'll do a Bigfoot show one of these days. When I did an old radio show I did in the past on another station that was terrestrial, I did an all Bigfoot episode with filmmaker Keith Crocker, and we had a nice discussion about all this old stuff that we used to watch. But we had music, we had Sasquatch music, original soundtracks from all these films and weird Sasquatch songs. But maybe we'll dig some of that out, do some music. What do you think of music on the show, Todd? What do you think of that?
Hey, anytime, anything you want to do, it's your show.
How can I just hit my iTunes right now and put a song on and say, hey, now listen to this, and then cut to a song?
I don't think we can do that.
Why? I mean, it's 2012, dude.
Well, you got to get some more equipment, and then you could do that.
What do I need to get?
Get a mixer, a couple of cables, run that into your machine, and run that through your Skype, and then you could do it.
I can run a machine into my Skype.
Yeah, you can run your mixer into your computer and then run all that through Skype, and then you could play music.
Really? During the show? Like, I could just say, hey, listen to this, and I can play play anything I want.
Yep.
Wow. And Jackalope will provide me this equipment because I'm a cherished host that brings in lots of advertising dollars, right?
One day.
Well, today's the day, brother. I want to start playing music, man. What if I just want to cut to, like, the opening theme to Sasquatch, Legend of Bigfoot, which I have right here on the CD.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, one day you'll be able to do that.
And you know what I have on vinyl, Mystery? One of your favorite Bigfoot researchers, or Ivan Marks, in the Shadow of Bigfoot. I have the vinyl soundtrack.
Oh, wow. That's
nice. That's right. Cower in your corners, fanboys. I do have it on vinyl. If you don't believe me, then don't believe me. But you can come to Mr. Ree's house and look. I'll leave it with him.
Yeah, it'll be there.
Give him your address.
It's in the show notes. It'll be in the show notes.
The notes that I'm putting up on the thing, the description, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it'll be there. Yeah, sure.
It will be. Okay, good.
I have the vinyl soundtrack of In Search Of, the TV series.
So you have the opening theme.
Yeah. Is there
a disco version of it?
Music themes from and inspired by the series, by the In Search Of Orchestra.
Now, wait, I have an idea, Mr. Ree. We can get around this to Todd Sheets not getting us new equipment rap that he gave us. You put that on your record player over there, and then put your phone up to the speaker, and then we'll listen to music during the show.
Only problem is I don't have a turntable right now.
Well, you have a record, but you don't have a turntable.
Correct.
Todd, is Jack in the Box really a sponsor of Jackalope Radio?
Kind of a sponsor, yeah. We don't get any money.
But they're a sponsor in that you eat there at night, or what?
Sometimes, yeah.
And do they provide food to the station?
They have. Maybe? They have provided some food.
We don't have Jack in the Box over here. This is where the obsession comes from. When I was in L.A. recently, I had to stop at a Jack in the Box, and I got a taco.
Those are great tacos.
It wasn't that bad. We used to have Jack in the Box. When I was a kid, I got sick at a Jack in the Box from a hamburger, like a Happy Meal kind of ripoff thing that they did. But I do remember getting a tiny little horror record from Jack in a Box, something like Things That Go Bump in the Night or something, and it was like the Jack in a Box clown in some kind of haunted house mystery, and it was a little 45 record with a little comic book, you know, it was like stuffed in there, like the Star Trek ones they used to make. And I do have that little piece of Jack in a Box history and a story about food poisoning. But we are obsessed with it on the East Coast. That and In-N-Out Burger. You don't have In-N-Out there. That's more West, right?
Yeah.
You do have In-N-Out Burger there.
No, we don't have it here. It's more down South and West.
Damn. We need these. You know, you would think we're so populated here, but I guess we're very picky as well. You know, we want only the fast food that's, you know, major corporation fast food. We don't want any of these, like, mom-and-pop fast food places. Anyway, back to Boo. Is there a Bigfoot burger, Mr. Ree? Is there such a thing?
I bet there is.
Well, what if we were to start one right here?
The elusive Bigfoot burger.
I know there's like Bigfoot ale. There's Bigfoot, you know, Bigfoot booze, you know, like beer and stuff that you can buy, right? Or there was.
Here in Nevada, I actually have a bottle. I have an empty bottle right here on my shelf, in fact, of Bigfoot ale.
Look at you. You're Mr. the Sasquatch collector.
No kidding, man. And you know what? Yeah. Here's the thing is, this is alcohol. It says alcohol 9.6% by volume. Isn't that a lot for a beer?
Not if you're a Bigfoot.
I guess you have to be a Bigfoot to...
You don't have to be a Bigfoot to drink it, but if Bigfoot was to drink it, it would be just enough alcohol for his body type.
Ah.
Just get it? See? That's the joke. It's the irony.
No wonder it kicked my ass.
Yeah. Oh, you're not of Sasquatchian size, pal.
I've seen
you in person.
Yes, I think I'll have the Orang Pendak ale, please. A little cryptozoology nerd joke. Todd, are you laughing?
he's more of an art. He's kind of like in the Art Bell tradition. I think he's more. I think he goes toward more power. I don't know. Is Bigfoot paranormal? It's more. I think Todd's more like a ghost guy. I just take him as more of like a ghost guy. I don't know why.
Well, there's a faction of Bigfootology that believes that you know, the all of the reasons that people point to for their not being for being suspicious that there really aren't Bigfoots, then the paranormal faction steps in and explains all the inconsistencies with the paranormal. Well, obviously Bigfoot can't be photographed because it's paranormal. They don't leave tracks unless they want to. They don't leave bodies or bones because they're paranormal. So there are people who they're not shapeshifters, but they
are supernatural to some extent. That's why we don't. They're not of the natural world to begin with. So how do you think you could ever really photograph them? Like, they haven't invented cameras yet to photograph these guys. Yeah,
it's hard, you know.
I've heard of the psychic Sasquatch theories.
That Sasquatch read people's minds, or
yeah, so they know when you're coming. You know.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. I've also heard that they're tied into UFOs. That maybe.
Oh, that's you now.
The whole theory is that they're the pets of aliens, and they're sent down to sort of explore while the mothership is hovering with the big feet.
Right. Right. That's the psychic thing that's tied into UFOs. Like, it's like interdimensional stuff. Like, so Bigfoot is, you know, we see it as Bigfoot, but he's actually just a being, you know, this multi-dimensional being who goes in and out of, you know, whatever his or her dimension is. And they work with the, you know, they work closely with the UFO people as, you know, this is all, look, anybody who's seen the $6 Million Man episode, or two or three episodes that they stretched out the Bigfoot bit on, knows that Bigfoot works for the aliens. He's, you know, and he's a robot. He's not even a Bigfoot, you know. They've kind of formed this robot in the image of something that scares us, you know, something in our collective subconscious, the boogeyman thing. So yes, he Bigfoot works for the ETs as a kind of a guard or something, right?
Yeah, you know.
That's the psychic. Yeah, that you so you're in there. That's what the theories are. I think Bigfoot, we can channel Bigfoot right here on the show if we all focus our attention and do a little humming right now. Do you guys want to try to channel Bigfoot?
If you want to try to channel Bigfoot, you go for it.
Will you help me?
Of course.
Good. Mr. Ree, are you up for this?
I was going to do some Bigfoot calls. I've been practicing on
Can
my,
you can you do that? That's even better. That's even better. We won't bore people with... we will hear your Bigfoot calls. Let's go. All right. So, Mr. Ree's Bigfoot calls, first attempt, go.
Yo, Bigfoot. That's like a New York call.
That's not really. I mean,
yo, what's your problem?
That's not really, I think, what we were talking about, like, doing, you know? Like, I didn't think that's where it was going when we just talked about you doing Bigfoot calls. I was thinking of the traditional, like, howling and kind of, you know, kind of tribal shout out to the universe.
Oh yeah, no, I don't do that.
No. Oh,
sorry, no.
So you tried to make a little like urban joke out of it. Anyway, you've upset me again, and you didn't even get to your movie reviews yet. Do you have any movies to review this week as we run out of time again?
Of course. Let me mention one thing real quick.
I get upset when you have movie reviews at this point. I used to get happy. No, go ahead. Mention one thing. You want to talk
work.
We can do another Bigfoot show. We can talk about Bigfoot anytime you want. But I don't want to steal listeners from Night Watch, if you know what I mean. You know, there are a lot of paranormal shows on this station. And, you know, our show says Movies Hate You, not Bigfoot Hate You. Although that would be a better name, wouldn't it? But I don't want to steal Todd's audience, if you know what I mean, Mr. Ree. Let's keep it cool, huh? He runs the place, eh?
It's synergy, isn't it? Synergy. You help me, I help you.
No, it's stealing G. If we steal his listeners, we get canned.
Oh.
Yeah. So we have to keep it on the subject of Bigfoot movies if we're going to talk about Bigfoot. I mean, we can tangent as we do, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we don't want to upset the apple cart, buddy. So movies to – what is this one last thing you wanted to say?
No, I was going to mention a movie. I was going to recommend a movie.
Harry and the Hendersons.
Well, there's that one. That's not what I was going to
okay. Little Bigfoot.
I am still waiting for 1313 Bigfoot Lane or whatever it's called.
Oh, I know. You're a big fan of the 1313 series. And let me tell you, it's on the way. It is in the mail. It's been announced. It's coming out. And let's talk about 1313 for a second because it's become a running bit on this show. I was flipping through cable the other day, and they have at least on my cable system here, they have something called FearNet, and and it's all free horror movies every month, and they change up, and I'm talking like 100 movies every month, you know, different horror films, and of course it's all the stuff that you've passed on at the video store or whatever, you know what I mean? It's not first run necessarily. You might get Friday the 13th, but it's the original Friday the 13th. It's not the remake. So if you're looking for the remake, you got to go get that for $3 or whatever the VOD charge is, okay, which is fine. But you might, you know, but you get a lot of little gems that fell through the cracks. You get a lot of Lionsgate released crud and crap, all that shot on video stuff that had... They brought in an artist and paid an artist $2,000 to do this beautiful, ferocious-looking cover for a movie that was shot on a camcorder. You know the trick. And we know who you are. you companies that do that. We know your names. We're not going to call you out. We'll call out Lionsgate because you're a big shot, big company now, and that's fine. But there are small companies that do that too. The fake cover, the trick. I've been accused of it myself. And, you know, the poster should sell the movie as far as I'm concerned. But there is a time where you could take it too far. Anyway, so FearNet is filled up with these type of movies. You know, Bloodhook, Swamp Island Massacre. You know, this is kind of whatever, you know, movies with like the one-word titles. You know, Retribution or... Now, let me tell you, these are free rentals. But people get paid. Let me tell you how it works. The cable company takes in a certain amount every month. If they want your movie, you get a fee, a flat fee for like a 30-day or a 60-day purchase. So in other words, the cable company says, hey, listen, we want your movie. Here's $8,000. We want it for 2 months exclusive. Then you can come out on DVD, whatever. Whatever the deal is, you make money doing that. So 1313, those movies are making money and people are watching them. Somebody somewhere saw that artwork that you saw, Mr. Ree, and went for it and paid money. So don't knock it till you try it, Mr. Ree. I think that's the moral of the story tonight for you.
Yeah, I would never knock it. And to be honest, the second one that I watched, Cougar Cult, which I think we talked about a little bit last week.
Cougar Cult, yes.
Cougar Cult, yeah, was to me much more interesting than the Giant Killer Bees one, because this one has the Scream Queens in it, the now Cougars, I guess, or MILFs or whatever.
The original Cougars, the original Scream Queens. Who are they?
Yeah, Linnea Quigley, Brink Stevens, and my favorite of the bunch was Michelle Bauer.
Right. Now, oh, you mean Pia Snow, right?
Pia Snow, yeah. Pia Snow, okay. And then, but I think, for my money, there was no hotter Scream Queen than Michelle Bauer at her, the height of her powers. She was tall. She just had a face that to die for. But anyway, they're all back, and I think they're in somewhat stages of retirement for the most part. I know Michelle retired for a few years, but anyway, they're back, and they're all back in this movie, and it's kind of a Witches with Eastwick. Witches of Eastwick meets the Abercrombie and Fitch model.
meets the guy showering without soap.
We have two more shower scenes.
You know how much email we got about that showering without soap thing that you did? You know how many emails we got? Zero. We got no emails about it. Because nobody wants to hear about that.
Somebody email this time just because you can. Okay?
And if you want to, it's movieshateyou@gmail.com.
Of showering without soap. Just explain to me. It can be a short explanation, a long explanation. I don't care. Just
should I Google it?
Is that
something like that dry shampoo you can use? Can you guys hear those sirens?
Yeah, man. I think they're coming to get you.
Hey, welcome to... Yes, there you go. Authentic New York City sounds during the show. Whoa, hey, something big's going on. I hope it's not this building. That's all I have to say because, you know, the show must go on and all. I'm not leaving, is what I'm saying.
No offense to my building either.
Yeah. I don't care about your building.
All right, well, that's fair enough.
You're not to get off this phone or just this show. I don't care about the sirens.
But anyway, Cougar Cult, I recommend
Kubrick?
It.
Kubrick Cult? This is about Kubrick Stanley cult. Kubrick? I think you're saying it too fast. Cougar Cult. Cougar.
Not confused with Cougar Town, which is a TV show.
Right, okay. So Cougar, the mammal, Cougar Cult, not Kubrick Cult. Which is what it sounds like you're saying.
That's going to be in the show notes as well. We'll clear that up for anybody.
Okay, good.
But sadly, the Scream Queens do not disrobe in this movie.
Well, now, so now, but
for me, maybe not celebrate.
Wait a minute. Wait. So the male stars, these Abercrombie pretty boys, they disrobe.
Oh yeah.
But the cougars, the scream queens, who we all fantasized about in various stages throughout our maleness, they don't take any clothes off. Not even, like, you know, topless. No.
They don't even take off their wigs. They are.
They don't even take off. Do they take off their makeup? Do they do anything?
No, not really. No.
Do they take off in a car? Do they do something?
They could probably take off a couple of pounds, but that's another.
That's not fair, dude. That's so
kidding.
Rude.
No, they're lovely ladies. I love them all. Honestly, good to see them working again. You know, if you're following these in order,
there's always the guy who makes a comment like that. Who, when you see them at a party, they're with the ugliest chick in the room, or you know, don't do that, man. Don't have some respect. Have some respect for those women.
You're right. Hey, I respect broads. Okay.
Yeah.
Nothing but respect for broads. Don't get me wrong. But hey, if you're following the series of 1313, you will notice that one of the guys from Giant Killer Bees, which I believe is the first in the series, one of the guys who does not take a soapless shower does take a soapless shower in Cougar Cult. Right? So now, if you're disappointed at the end of Giant Killer Bees because the blonde guy didn't take his shirt off, didn't almost said lather up, but didn't wet down, then Cougar Cult will more than deliver the goods for you.
Is there an Abercrombie boy in this one who doesn't soapless shower, who may in the next one? Like, this is the gimmick to get you to see the next one, I guess, right? Is that what
that could be? Yeah, maybe take some two movies to be talked into taking the shower.
Or perhaps they did a test screening. They did a, you know, kind of a, you know, market test market screening at a mall or something. And when they played the film with the soap, the audience thought it covered up too much. The soap actually obscured the view of the muscle tone and the nipples and the butt crack or whatever you're looking at, whatever you're enjoying in this mystery, because we can't figure it out. And so they went like, okay, let's cut the soap out. And then it played much better for the test market audience. Do you think that maybe that's what happened?
Maybe, or you know, maybe like they used to shoot like an international version.
Ah, yes.
A little more, you know, a little more skin in it. Maybe there's a domestic version and an international version. Like Jess Franco always shot, you know, more than one version of his sex scenes.
Right.
For market. So maybe, you know, maybe for completists, they're, can you imagine a completist, a 1313 completist?
And if they don't use soap, they could also call it a dirty movie. Without it actually being a dirty movie.
Yeah.
Now, do the cougars interact sexually with these young Abercrombie models?
Not sexually, really. And basically, the idea is it's kind of witches in Eastwick. They're three, you know, kind of witches, older ladies, and they most of their screen time is really just the three of them holding little. What do you call them? Not seances, but little spell casting parties or whatever. And then the boys are kind of, I mean, they do interact with the boys a little bit, but there's nothing sexual. It's all very chaste. It's all just like the other one. It's completely chaste. No frontal nudity. No cursing, as I remember. No blood, definitely. Very cable TV ready. I guess I would call it probably PG-13 if it were. Rated, but.
So maybe that's the idea, you know, get the cable sales. You know, it is a business after all. I mean, a lot of fans get caught up emotionally in this stuff. This is a damn business. These are just commodities. These are products. These are you know, things to, you know, of course there's love and there's you know, hard work put into these things sometimes, but still, you know, maybe this is some kind of deal if somebody, you know. So he put a package together and said, I need this amount of money and you'll make this amount back, and he's doing his thing. He's a businessman.
and no soap.
Cougars eat their cubs. That's the tagline. Cougars eat their cubs.
Their cubs.
Mm-hmm. Do they eat their cubs in this film?
No.
Do the Scream Queen? Yeah, don't give away too much. We want people to go out and buy this today, of course. Do the Scream Queens, the Cougars, do they eat each other?
Not in this movie.
Not in this movie. So there's no let's say Scream Queen on Scream Queen stuff. You know what I mean by stuff.
No, they're all stuff. That's the thing. They're all kind of elder statesmen in this movie. They don't disrobe. They don't titillate, as it were.
Well, they can still kiss. They don't have to undress.
Yeah, there's no kissing. No, there's no. None of that stuff. If you want that stuff, I'd recommend. There was one hardcore movie I think that a couple. Well, besides Pia Snow had a bit of a hardcore past, right? She was a kind of a flesh. But I think Monique Gabriel, who was also one of my favorites, she's not in this movie, but she was one of my favorites of that time. She was in a hardcore movie, but I think she only had girl scenes. I probably know too much about this.
So, yeah, we're starting to unravel who you really are here a lot, and I don't like it. I don't like it. Yeah. Time Warner Cable has 1313 Cougar Cult on demand. Time Warner Cable.
Wow.
Okay, so you might knock it, Mr. Ree, but this thing's performing.
Yeah, you didn't hear any knocks coming out.
Even if there's no performing in the film is performing. You could actually rent it on your Xbox.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So keep knocking it. Keep knocking it, man. He's laughing all the way to the bank. Those Scream Queens are laughing to the bank. The guy with no soap, he's laughing to the bank. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, well, how many of your movies are on Time Warner Cable, Mr. Ree?
I'd have to look into that.
You'd have to. How many of your movies are on Xbox 360?
Well, let me answer the first question first. You know, you're asking me all these questions. I'd have to look into that.
Okay. Okay.
That's the best I can say.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to follow up with you on that.
Yeah. Hey, I know it's your show and everything, but we're going to talk about Davy Jones. We're never
going to. Yeah, man. You know, it's like
we're last 2 minutes of the show.
Oh, get out of here with your 2 minutes. It's always 2 minutes. Why can't you tell me at 5 minutes so that I could time out the last few minutes, Ben?
Well, I didn't want to interrupt.
2 minutes. Send me a text message. Interrupt. This guy's always like, you got 13 seconds left, man. Come on.
Now you do.
Yeah, in the middle of something. Well, then edit out Mr. Ree.
Yeah, get rid of all that.
Edit out that review of 13:13.
Okay.
So we all lost Davy Jones of the Monkees. Right? That's horrible news.
It is.
It really is.
And Mr. Ree, you always have some kind of weird celebrity story. Do you have some kind of weird Davy Jones run-in where you were in a bathroom or something and he walked in? You always have something on a celebrity where you're walking down the street in New York and he whistled at you or something. I mean, anything?
I don't have anything. I did meet Mickey Dolenz at a...
That doesn't matter enough. Davy Jones.
That's close as I come to Davy Jones.
Are you happy that David Bowie can now use his real name? Are you?
That was the first thing I thought.
That joke
was, now Bowie can use his real name, but in all seriousness, I think I'm still shocked. I mean, it only happened yesterday, but
Saturday.
Oh, sorry, that happened.
remember this show airs on Sundays.
Oh yes. Well, but in all seriousness, I think that, to me, personally, the Monkees were
better
more
than the
influential in my life than the Beatles were, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm not stupid enough to think that the Beatles weren't a more profound band, but influence-wise. I mean, I grew up, you know, I remember seeing the bubblegum cards when I was a little kid, and I remember watching the show on TV, and Tiger Beat magazine and everything. That was my life. That was my world. The Beatles were a little more peripheral to that.
Mike Nesmith created Pacific Arts Video, one of the best vintage video companies to ever come out.
Yeah, I would go out on a limb and say that I think the Monkees are the most underrated rock and roll band of all time. They're completely underrated.
Absolutely agree with you, and they are darker than you think they are. They are a dark band, if you listen to the lyrics. And they star in one of the best American films ever made on my top 10 of all time, the movie called Head. If you've never seen it, go find it. I know it's out there. One of the best anti-establishment, anti-Hollywood, anti-music business, career-killing movies ever made. They killed their career with that movie, literally. And they were happy to do it.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Mike Nesmith produced Repo Man and Tape Heads.
Yeah, and
come on.
Yeah, and some of his. I mean, you know, they took the rap that they didn't play their instruments on the.
Who cares?
Two records, right? They were pre-made by corporations.
Prefab Four, yes.
But you know, all that's true. But they were smart enough and they were hungry enough to actually force the issue. And they made the studio let them play instruments on their, I think, the third album. You know, only because the albums were so big that they, you know, have any clout whatsoever. But you know, I think that was a pretty bold thing. They could have been like any of these, you know, boy bands.
They could have Biebered out and just been, you know, a commodity their whole career.
Yeah, and Davey was. You know, not even a rock. He was from the not vaudeville, but what's the music hall? Is that the kind of music that like very theatrical Tin Pan Alley kind of music? I mean, that was where he came from. So he was more of an actor, like Jack Wilde was. You remember Jack Wilde from Puff and Stuff?
Yeah.
Who was Oliver? I mean, he was the Artful Dodger in the movie. Well, Davy Jones was the Artful Dodger on Broadway.
Right.
So those guys were always kind of in my head together, but yeah, it's funny that Davey never had a solo career. I mean, he tried to, but I think that's because the rock world was kind of foreign to him. I think he was
you could tell he walked into a room and lit it up. He was a performer. And he was the most marketable image of any of those guys who still up until, you know, he had a tour planned for March 2012. I mean, he was constantly toured in advertisements, TV commercials, you know, retro show, everything, you know, pitch man, complete showman. And he had a great voice. Great voice. Can't deny that. Don't deny that voice. Don't deny that voice. Don't believe the hype. And see Head. And we're out of time.
If you don't listen to Valerie, his vocals on Valerie are fantastic.
When I met you, girl, you had no shoes. Now you think you're all the news. Is that the line? Anyway, the hell with me. And you, Mr. Ree, and you, Mr. Todd. We are out of time. We've gone over. Todd has to edit. He's going to be mad. He's going to charge me. We'll be right back.
private dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks. You're damn right. Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother, man? Can you dig it? The cat that won't cop out when there's danger all about. Shot. Right on. You see, this cat Chef is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
What I'm talking about, Chef?
Well, he can do it.
He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.
Don Chef.